Welcome to the Spirituality What? Podcast, where we explore the mysteries, joys, and challenges of being spiritual beings navigating our unpredictable human experience we call life here on planet Earth. I'm your friendly guide, Rebecca, ready to jump into our adventure of the day. Happy hump day, everybody. Welcome back to the Spirituality What? Podcast. Today we are going to get into urban farming as spiritual beings. Now, when I recorded this podcast with Austin, our new interviewee, we originally were to call it gardening, but then realized it was a little bit more about food production. It's still about gardening, but I don't know. We went with urban farming, so if you got any feedback, let me know. Austin is actually my husband, and Austin and I have known each other since around 1995. Ooh, it's a long time. And Austin is a former Colorado State University master gardener. He is a food and urban farming aficionado. He loves food production for both ourselves and our friends and our family and our neighbors in the summertime in Colorado, which isn't the longest growing season, but he knows how to take advantage of it and make the best of everything that we've got in that short growing season. So with Austin, we are going to talk today about how gardening kind of became, and food production gardening kind of became a thing for him. The process of spirituality over time and how that kind of changed and morphed with this food production and gardening. And what it's kind of the difference potentially, or some of the similarities of, you know, gardening in your house for in your backyard for food versus flowers versus other plants, what it means to do all of that with intention. We are going to get into some of the science of the nutritional value of a backyard garden, which is really very interesting, and how to make sure that you're getting nutrient-dense food. We talk about some of the different options when it comes to plants and doing all of this in kind of different sized spaces in homes and apartments, hydroponics, aeroponics, aquaponics, and lobsterponics, and his absolute favorite part of backyard farming. So thank you all for joining us for this part one of two-part episode, and we're going to dive right in. All right, everybody, welcome back to the Spirituality What podcast. I am here with Austin. Austin, if you would like to introduce yourself.
Hello, my name is Austin, and I am a former master gardener with Colorado State University, avid gardener for almost 10 years now, and just an avid fresh food advocate, I guess.
Awesome. Well, welcome to the podcast. So I'm going to start today with the same question that I do for all of our interviewees on the podcast, which is, what does spirituality mean to you?
The hardest question of the podcast, I think.
It's a great starter.
It's a great starter. It's a good one to contemplate throughout life in general. Spirituality to me is the practice of believing in more than what we see in this three-dimensional world. I know there's a lot of other avenues that we can go on through that, but yeah, I think at a core, what we focus our energy on beyond what is just here and now can be our spiritual practice.
Cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. All right. So we are going to dig in and start talking about the topic for today, which is gardening as spiritual beings. So you mentioned a little bit of your background, but can you tell us a little bit of how you got to gardening? How did gardening become a thing in your life?
Yeah. Gardening started for me, I mean, as a kid, I always really enjoyed growing plants or seeing how they grew or seeing the habitats that they grew in, specifically here in Colorado where I grew up. It was always interesting to just see, you know, what the native fauna and flora have adapted to And that got me curious about, you know, what foods we eat and what grows here in Colorado, and how we can influence that. The biggest spark, I think, was, you know, growing up in a traditional Western diet, and seeing my father go through some, you know, health concerns because of kind of shifting from that Western diet to a very sad Western diet. They call it the standard American diet, you know, focused, you know, mainly on processed foods through fast food chains. And his health, you know, really took a dive, and learning that a lot of that was avoidable, you know, because of the food he ate or the food he didn't eat. So that kind of started my, you know, my yearning for why we need to eat better and treat our bodies better. And from there, I got encouraged through my mom to work at a pretty interesting grocery store called Whole Foods Market. At the time, gosh, this is almost 20 years ago. You know, she's like, "Oh, there's this hippie market. You know, you should go work at it." And you know, they're all about the organics. Okay, so I gave that a try, and I, you know, worked with them for over 10 years through, you know, many different facets, and also learned that, you know, the food system, even in, you know, the best of the best grocery marks, really still wasn't hitting the mark. So I decided to, you know, focus on growing my own. You know, there's, you know, we have space, we have sunshine, we have water. All it really needs is just a little bit of know-how and, you know, some passion for it. And that really started my passion and my, you know, emphasis on eating better and treating my body better. And then from there, you know, I've kind of discovered all the different ways of gardening, you know, whether it be natural in the soil, organic gardening, or turning to hydroponics or aeroponics, which is a little more scientific, into aquaponics, which is incorporating fish and their fertilizer to feed plants, to, you know, microgreens, which, you know, really don't need any nutrition at all. They just need a little bit of light and some water. Yeah, it's been pretty, you know, evolving process throughout the years. And I think through all of that, you know, I've always seen that there's more than just the food that you see in front of you. Mm. It's about your connection to it. And digging a little bit deeper to knowing that the plants that you care for and how you care for them is what you get out of it. You know, you reap what you sow. Mm-hmm. You know, the seeds that you sow and the tending that you do to your garden really give you the bounty you know, beyond that. So
yeah. Okay. So it started. You were food motivated.
Food motivated. Yeah. Aren't we all?
So you were food motivated. But then it turned into something else.
It did.
Yeah. It did. Yeah. So what was the trigger? What was the turning point? What was the thing? Or was it more just organic over time?
I think it was organic over time. You know, knowing, you know, that there's a huge community around it. You know, when you start talking to people, you know, that have been gardening for, you know, decades, you know, once you tell them you're a gardener, man, they won't stop talking about it. and then to see like the proof in the pudding, you know, to have my own family, you know, my mom eating, you know, fresh tomatoes and just raving about them. Oh my God, these are the best tomatoes I've ever had. Oh, these are the juiciest, you know, bell peppers I've ever had. And, you know, that really is the encouragement to say, wow, like it's not just about the food anymore. It's about, again, yeah, the connection that we have to it, and that we're putting that emphasis more on the value and not just what we're shoving in our faces.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So is there, what is the difference between gardening for food and gardening for like flowers? Like, is there any difference?
I mean, yes and no. I would think, you know, at a core level, they both take quite a bit of nurturing.
Okay.
You know, you have to care for the soil. You have to care for the nutrients they give, the sunlight, the water. But it really comes down to what you're wanting to get out of it. You know, a lot of gardeners will grow just ornamental flowers because they just visually see the beauty in it.
Mm-hmm.
And that to them is their spark of why they want to keep it going. Mm-hmm. You know, for me, my spark was knowing that I'm eating something and I know exactly what went into it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm knowing that my friends and family are benefiting at a face value. Yes, it's delicious. Can I have another plate? But also knowing that it's nourishing their body.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, it's nourishing everything else, you know, their soul, their spirit, their connection to the earth around them.
Yeah. Let's talk about nourishment mm-hmm. for a minute. So you have talked about the difference in food that comes from like a garden, like a local garden, versus food that comes from a grocery store. We've had conversations about this in the past. So you've talked about that before, and I think that would be really interesting
mm-hmm.
to talk about now. So what are some of the differences in the nutritional value, if you will, of the food that you get from your backyard garden versus the food that you get at the grocery store?
Yeah, there's so many, again, different facets. You know, the main one would be nutrient density, which comes back to the soil. You know, you are what you eat, also as the plants. They're only as good as the soil they're grown in.
Okay.
And you could say that for, you know, let's say a carrot. You know, you can grow a carrot in the desert, which sand is typically inert. You know, it has no nutritional value. It's just pretty much holding space, holding water. Or you could grow a carrot in, you know, fresh, aged compost that is nutrient dense. You know, it's bioavailable, full of good bacteria, living organisms, you know, worms, and that transcends into the food itself.
Mm.
We could also talk about the freshness of food.
Okay, yeah, let's do that.
When you buy food from even an organic grocery store, it's at least, I would say, a minimum, I mean, say a bare minimum and give them some grace here, maybe 4 days old. And that's if you're getting it from a local farm.
Local meaning?
USDA organic or USDA says local is within 70 miles, which still needs to be transported from a truck. Before that, it needs to be harvested, processed, either
washed.
Whatever. Yep, washed, mm-hmm. cleaned, potentially rinsed with some sort of cleaning agent.
Whatever, yeah.
The data, and I shouldn't be quoted exactly on it, but I know the data is saying that within 3 days, let's say a head of lettuce, 3 days will lose 60% of its nutritional value.
Mm-hmm.
So we call it phytonutrients or plant-based nutrients are dependent on water, oxygen, and time. And over time, those nutrients become inert. They're there, but they're not really bioavailable anymore. They don't really
like
do anything.
Like you can't process them.
Right. Yeah. They don't really do anything for your body. So when you're eating from your home garden, you know, as we do, you're eating kale and carrots and bell peppers that are picked maybe
straight to the table.
Yeah.
5 minutes ago.
Yeah. 5 minutes ago.
Maybe a day ago.
Maybe a day, you know, maybe 30 minutes if, you know, you had some prep and then you're going to throw it in a mm-hmm. dish. But, you know, when we pick, you know, kale, it's prepped and ready and on the plate, you know, within 5 to 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of that nutritional value is intact. It's,
yeah.
It is bioavailable to our bodies.
Okay.
And that makes the most sense. You know, when we talk about health and wellness, you know, do you want to drink water that has been sitting around in a bottle for months on a shelf?
Like a plastic bottle, yeah.
Like a plastic bottle. Or do you want to drink water from a fresh spring, you know,
mm-hmm.
that is still effervescent with, you know, the natural, you know, carbon dioxide and oxygen that has been pushed it out. You know, the minerals that have just came into contact with moments before
mm-hmm.
it hit your
mm-hmm.
cup.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you talked a little bit about the nutrients of the soil and soil care already. Mm. So let's go back to that really quickly. So what does that mean? What is important in the soil?
Gosh, you know, nutrients are probably the biggest component. You know, we could talk about compost having, you know, where it's very, you know, very heavy in NPK, which is the three base elements, you know, nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium. But then you also have micronutrients that are available in worm castings. So when worms eat, you know, leaves, let's say weeds, and turn it into worm poop, called worm castings, there's a lot more micronutrients in there.
Okay.
And those are available right to the root source of the plant. When we'd use organic fertilizers, you know, if we do like a compost tea, which is, you know, to think about like a concentrated compost into a liquid form, we're introducing that right to the soil. Again, it goes right into the roots. Mm. We can also talk about my favorite, which is glacial mineral dust or glacial rock dust, which is ground up glacier rock, you know, from either Canada or Alaska. It has, I think, from 50 upwards of 70 micronutrients that aren't typically found in the native soil.
Sure, because
that we are introducing.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're not just like injecting the plant saying, hey, here you go, but we're giving it the opportunity for the plant to say, hey,
take what it wants.
Yeah, and let's grow bigger, better, more nutrient dense plants because of this.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay, so we've got a huge benefit of these backyard gardens, which is more nutrients in our food.
Right.
And more immediately.
Freshness.
And freshness. Yeah. That's really cool. So that's like, well, you also talked a little bit about, I didn't write this down, but like aquaponics, aeroponics, I think you even said. Right. So can you explain what the difference is between those three that you mentioned?
Please? Yeah. So we could talk about hydroponics, which I think a lot of people are familiar with that term more. Hydro meaning water, ponics meaning, you know, essentially a growing medium. So when we talk about organic gardening in the ground, we're using soil as our medium. Hydroponics uses water and usually an alternative nutrient into that water that touches the plant roots. Usually though, hydroponics is, I want to say artificial because there's a lot of natural fertilizers that you can introduce as a liquid form into that water.
Like compost tea.
Right. Compost tea. Yep. Yeah. You can put compost tea.
Which is that literally like compost boiled in water and then like drained?
Yeah, totally. Oh, yeah. Okay. It's like compost. You can like throw a heap of compost into a pot, fill it with water. Add a bubbler because you want it to be oxygenated and wait a day and boom, all of those, you know, vitamins and minerals go into the water. Okay. Boom, you just water your plant with it. Okay. You know, you don't have to just shovel a bunch of compost onto your plant and wait weeks or months actually absorb into the soil.
Or like if you live in a really small area and all you have is like a little tiny compost bin.
Yeah.
That's still really useful because you need just a little bit.
Right. Absolutely. Okay, cool. Yeah. Yeah, it's like a concentrated liquid form of compost.
Okay.
Yeah, so hydroponics uses a water base versus a soil base. Aeroponics is a little bit different. Aero meaning air, where it still needs water and nutrients, but it's usually misted onto the roots of the plant. And so
instead of it sitting in water.
It would sit in, you know, think about like a hanging basket where the roots are exposed and there's a mist, a fine spray, spraying water and nutrients onto the roots itself.
Interesting.
It's a little more advanced. There's a little more, you know, there's a little more that can go wrong. You know, your spray heads could go clogged.
I'm like, where does all the extra spray go?
Right.
They have a tray where they're collecting all of it, right?
Yeah. And they would kind of recycle.
Yeah.
Talk about salts, not necessarily like table salt, but a lot of minerals form salts when they dry up, and those could clog the spray head. So it's a great practice. I love it. It's just a little bit more scientific and a little bit more
particular.
Particular, yeah. You have to keep your eye on it a little bit more, which is great. You know, if you know what you're doing and you can dial it in, it's a great way to use way less water than traditional gardening, okay. Way less water than hydroponics. But you know, there's just a little bit more tech.
Yeah, totally.
I guess you could say in the natural sense, you know, if you put like a hanging plant next to a waterfall, like that would be aeroponics. It's not really getting water right on it, but it's getting that mist of the surrounding air. Cool. So that could be kind of a good visual. So then what I like to practice is called aquaponics, which uses two different things. It's aquaculture and hydroponics. Aquaculture meaning raising fish. And that's like first and foremost, like you want to treat your fish as its own entity. You know, you're making sure they have the right water temperature, the right pH, the right parts per million of nutrients. And so your fish are just living their best life. You know, they're just really thriving in this environment. And then you take that water and you could either spray it onto the plant roots or you could soak the plant roots in an oxygenated bath. But you're not introducing any outside nutrients to it because the fertilizer or the plant waste is creating your nutrients for you. So you're almost making this symbiotic environment where the plants thrive because of the fish. And also the plant roots uptake all those excess nutrients and clean the water for you.
So your tank doesn't get all nasty.
So your tank doesn't get nasty. Yeah. So you're, you know, they're kind of, you know, one hand, you know, scratches the other, however that thing goes.
So we've talked about this before as well. And there are other marine animals that can contribute to environments like this as well. Yeah. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. You know, the kind of new, I guess not so newish now, but a new term that a lot of people haven't heard of is called lobsterponics, which is also raising lobsters or other crustaceans like crawfish, crabs, mussels, clams, to use their waste as a fertilizer. And what they do as, you know, bottom feeders is will, you know, eat and transform regular fish waste and convert it down and process it even more to even, you know, further, you know, make a whole new abundant source of nutrients for the plant.
Different kinds of nutrients.
Different kinds of nutrients, yeah. The science beyond that is, you know, just is beyond me. you could use, you know, so many different types of fish or so many different types of, you know, sea life, and, you know, using scientific methods monitor what nutrients are coming out of their fish waste and really dial in what your plants need. You know, let's say tomatoes, for instance, you can use in an aquaponic setting, you know, really require obviously a lot of nitrogen, but they require a lot of calcium, a lot of silica. You know, that could be found more in a lobsterponic setting than just in aquaponic fish setting.
Okay. Yeah. Really cool.
Yeah.
A lot of cool different things you can do there. I know I've seen, because we've had these conversations before, of course, the two of us get, you know, the Instagram ads targeted to conversations we've had around our phones. And those, there are those like towers that you can buy. Those like kind of plastic towers that kind of help. I think it's mostly hydroponics.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, usually. You could, you know, they usually have a basin of water in the bottom. And you could very easily just throw some goldfish in the bottom and make sure they're fed. You know, test your pH, make sure, you know, it's not too acidic for them. And that could almost be, you know, your food source right there for your plants. But mostly it's fresh water and you're adding nutrients once a week to replenish the nutrients that have been absorbed by the plant roots.
Okay. Yeah. So what is your favorite part about gardening or gardening?
Oh gosh.
Or your favorite thing, favorite activity related to gardening?
I think, you know, it's just the joy of, you know, reaping the bounty.
The harvest.
The harvest. Yeah. And eating the harvest or enjoying it and sharing it with friends. You know, knowing that, you know, if you know, or like our neighbors don't particularly like tomatoes. but they would eat the tomatoes that we grew because they tasted better and they didn't hit their stomach as hard. Mm. You know, a lot of them would eat store-bought tomatoes. I'm like, oh, it's too acidic. You know, I get acid reflux. But we don't get it when we eat your tomatoes. And like that to me, that's the benefit, you know. Like, you know, there's also, you know, the process of, you know, tilling the soil and planting the seeds and, you know, even weeding, I find some enjoyment in because it's, you know, it's tending the garden, you know, just like it is your mind or your spirit, you know, you're kind of weeding, weeding through. But yeah, I think my top is just seeing others, benefit from just all the hard work and all the labor that you don't talk about and you don't see. And just seeing smiles on people's faces and full bellies and knowing that what you don't see is you know that they're getting nutritional quality food, fresh food. And that to me just means a lot.
So what is it from a commercial perspective that makes such a difference like that? Because I also think of like, you know, zucchini from the garden has like this amazing flavor and zucchini from the grocery store doesn't have, like it tastes fine, but it doesn't have this sort of sweet flavor that you get when you have zucchini from a garden. Is it just the seeds? Is it just the travel time? Like, what is making this huge difference?
Honestly, I would believe that the biggest difference is soil quality. You could say, yes, genetics has something to do with the...
Sure, know, right, seed. If they're choosing size over flavor.
Right.
And picking seeds that way. Okay. Right.
You know, like when we grow zucchini in the garden... You know, if we let it go too long, it's longer than your arm. And it still tastes delicious. But that's not the variety that commercial growers are focused on, you know, because a lot of people are expecting a zucchini that's 6 inches long, you know, has a little bit of a curl to it, but it's mostly straight, and has a kind of a taste, but is pretty much inert in flavor. So commercial gardening or farming on that level really focuses on quality. Or, no, I'm sorry, quantity.
I was like, wait a minute, there's no way.
Yeah, no, they focus on quantity
rather than
quality. And then that goes down to, okay, well, we need to have so many bushels because we as a farm, committed to selling so many bushels of tomatoes at this given time. How are we going to do that? Okay, well, there's an aphid, you know, outbreak going on, so we need to spray them. And
that's really the motivation,
right? Yeah, there's a drought, so we're going to take whatever water we can get, even if that's importing it from the wastewater plant. And okay, that cuts our costs down, so we can't really afford to do fertilizer this year, but we can afford to do some wax coating on the fruit, or the, you know, fruit meaning like, you know,
the product of the plant,
yeah. You know, so the zucchini. You know, we can't afford to put some wax on there to extend its shelf life, to make sure that once we sell it, it hits the store and it'll stay viable, at least in their eyes. Okay. So yeah, it's more quantity over quality.
And so we all can control that then, like right within our backyard.
Absolutely.
Farming, like we can amend the soil. We can buy these things. We can compost. We can buy compost if you don't have your own compost, if you don't have space for it. Although they do actually have like countertop, like automatic compost bins or something. Now they have like little trash cans and stuff.
Totally.
That kind of grind it all up, I guess. Or
yeah, they kind of grind it up. It kind of speed up the process. Yeah. Usually, you still want to incorporate some kind of bioactivity, whether it means
like worms or something.
Yep, worms or you know, a fungus. It would break it down a little bit more. They're super neat. If you lived, I think, in an apartment,
That's,
you know, it would probably be your best option.
Or a condo, or a condo,
like that. Townhome, something where you don't have a lot of garden space. Yeah. You know,
but you still eat a lot of food and have a lot of food waste.
Right, exactly. Probably more than that bin would serve you.
You need a dog too, right?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Some stray cats or something to throw it to.
Eat the
scraps. Yeah.
Thank you, everybody. I hope you enjoyed the first part of this two-part episode, this riveting conversation with my husband and I, Austin. We are going to dive into part two in the coming weeks, so we will see you then. thank you for joining me on today's Spirituality What? Adventure. Subscribe, rate, review, and share this podcast. Visit us on Instagram at spirituality.what to interact, tell us what spirituality means to you, and even provide some of your own personal musings. Human on, you phenomenal spiritual beings.